This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.
Marley and Us. Clicker Training on the Movie Set by Helen Schwarzman. Class, collar your dogs. Most Americans would recognize the husky female voice that gave that command in a heartbeat. I followed instructions, bent over my Doberman Liesel, and placed around her neck the 15-year-old choke collar I had taken out of storage. Then I stood up, as rehearsed, to listen for the next command from the class instructor, Kathleen Turner. I never thought I'd be standing in a dog obedience class with such a famous non-expert instructor, but there I was in a scene set right at the beginning in the 1990s. While around us, past the lights, camera, and action, it was March 2008. Liesel and I had landed roles as extras in the hero dog obedience class scene for the movie Marley and Me, due in theaters in December 2008. A few months earlier, I had opened an email with a provocative subject line, Casting Dogs and Owners for Marley and Me. I read through and decided I met the requirements, which included having a flexible work schedule and the ability to work a 10 to 12 hour day. So I submitted the required discussion of the dog's talents and pictures of the handler dog team in natural light and held my breath. Several weeks later, I had to peel myself off the ceiling when I learned that we had been selected for the dog obedience class scene in the film. Rehearsal day, positive training for the three Marleys. Just prior to the exciting day of movie making was the rehearsal, where the handler dog pairs met with all three of the Marleys trained for this scene. Matilda Tagney, trainer of Eddie, the dog from the TV show Frasier, was head trainer of the Marley Labradors. Ray Beal was the Owen Wilson look-alike trainer who worked his magic handling the labs, while Matilda gave the commands from the sidelines that brought out the naughty in Marley. The third member of the Marley's crew was Mark Forbes, animal coordinator for this project and the general manager of Birds and Animals Unlimited, which provided the animal talent. Aside from offering time for Marley to practice, rehearsal gave the handlers and dogs a chance to get used to the three well-trained, wacky adolescent Marleys. Nancy Little and Philip Holcher of Trademark Animal Talent wanted to make sure none of the extra dogs they hired had issues with each other or with one of the Marleys. As rehearsal started, Nancy made an announcement. She did not want to see anyone forcing their dogs to do anything, and she reminded us that if clickers and treats had been brought, we should pull them out and use them. Though no clickers were used to train Marley on rehearsal day, a representative from Birds and Animals Unlimited answered an email from me about their training methods. Quote, "We use clickers for some things, but most of the training is basic positive reinforcement. We are very mindful of the importance of the dog's attitude. We are very careful not to let them get bummed out." End of quote. The yellow Marley labs were obedient and upbeat, which testifies to their positive training method. As for the extras, I didn't see a team among us using the force method. People were using treats to gain and keep their dog's attention, and the majority wore buckle or martingale collars. Co-stars. Our rehearsal group consisted of an Aussie, a Benji-like dog, two collies, a Doberman, a German Shepherd, a Husky, a Black Lab mix, a Labradoodle, a Newfoundland, a Terrier mix, and a Weimaraner. Most of us had never seen a Labradoodle, so she drew a lot of attention. Her name was Gigi, and she is in a one-year foster home placement. Soon, she will move on to formal training as her next step as a service dog. Starting the rehearsal, Phil put us in a moving circle and gave us commands to see how we and our dogs did as teams, while Matilda and her staff watched and evaluated us. Afterward, they put Abby the Aussie and her handler on one side of Marley and Liesl and me on the other. This was not the way it would be on shooting day, but it was a thrill during practice. The first test for the handler dog teams was ignoring the lab as he got into character as the hyperactive Marley. While Ray played tug with Marley around our drill class circle, our dogs were supposed to keep their attention on us. This was difficult, as there had never been a well-trained but out-of-control dog in any drill class Liesl and I had ever attended. I used treats and conversation to keep Liesl focused on me. She did well, as did the other dogs. Jump up for treats. After the drill class practice, we moved to where the scene would be shot. This was a much smaller space. For this part of rehearsal, Matilda reinforced the Marleys on several behaviors. The question most new dog owners ask is, how do I stop my dog from jumping on me? But in this instance, Matilda had trained the reverse. Up, she'd say in an encouraging voice with an added hand signal. Up went the lab on Ray Beal. Ray squirmed and protested to get the Marley off, but Matilda's command was the one the lab listened to. Until she gave the word, Marley remained an unrelenting adolescent with his big paws on Ray. Pulling Ray through the middle of our drill circle was Marley's next feat. Matilda stood on the other side of the circle with the universal dog magnet, the stainless steel dinner bowl. When our drill circle started moving, Matilda gave the signal and Marley hauled Ray through the center of the drill circle and out the other side to get the treat, waiting for him in that bowl. I wasn't close enough to see what treat was in that bowl, but I did get a peek into Matilda's treat bag when she was doing an arm signal for Clyde, the star Marley of the trio. Both Matilda and Ray wore bags, but not Mark Forbes. In Matilda's bag was something that looked like toffee-colored beef sticks. I contacted Birds and Animals Unlimited to ask about the treats and was told the trainers used Biljack liver treats and cooked chicken breasts. Neither of these were the secret in Matilda's bag, but whatever treat the trainers used, the Marleys were working for good things, not to avoid punishment. Getting ready for film day. At the conclusion of rehearsal, Nancy told us to be back on shoot day and mentioned that taking pictures on the day of the shoot was prohibited because the stars would be on the set. She looked around and said to those who wore flip-flops that they should wear closed-toe shoes on shoot day. But Mark overturned that instruction and gave the okay to wear flip-flops as he said, quote, "It is Miami," end of quote. Nancy and Phil mentioned that they teach real obedience classes in Miami and would send anyone home who showed up to class in flip-flops, but Mark's decision stood. Sometime around the lunch hour, 2 days before the shoot, Nancy sent an email that the shoot date might be changed due to weather concerns. Within a couple of hours, the date was confirmed, and we were told to be at the park by 6:30 a.m. the next morning. I spent the evening packing Liesl's crate with blankets, towels to wet to keep her cool, towels to keep her comfortable, an ice chest full of frozen chicken breast pieces I'd spent the weekend preparing, sunblock, dog brush, people brush, chair, dog toys, water bowl, several pairs of shorts and tops for wardrobe to choose from, and a host of other miscellaneous items that Nancy suggested we bring along. There were people in hospitality whose jobs it was to make sure there would be plenty of water for everyone, which was a thankful bit of news, but I brought a jug of water too. I packed my camera too, just in case they changed their minds, but they didn't. At midnight, I set the alarm for 4 a.m. Because I feared not hearing the alarm at such an early hour, a friend, who was regularly up that early, volunteered to call me. It worked. I was on my feet saying hello when the sun was still hiding. I had barely slept, but Liesl had no problem getting shut-eye. An orchestrated event. We arrived at Jose Marti Park 10 minutes early. After setting up our crates, unpacking and eating breakfast, it was time to get on the set, which was now full of people doing all sorts of jobs. The entire park was rented for the day, and unless you were meant to be there, you weren't allowed entry. The cost of this day had to be remarkable. The lab's Marley-type behaviors had to be in place and reliable by now. Reputations and the movie's success depended on that. I walked out in blue shorts, tank top, tennis shoes, Doberman rescue cap, and sunglasses, and was given the okay, except for my sunglasses. They were too contemporary and not resistant to the stage light glare. I was fitted with a huge 90s style pair of sunglasses, while the other extras' outfits were also evaluated and fixed where necessary. All of us were photographed in our outfits by the continuity department in case we needed to return for a second day. Then it was on to the first scene. The three stars, Kathleen Turner, Jennifer Aniston, and Owen Wilson, arrived on the grassy set. All of us stood quietly. Of those handlers I spoke to in our group, none had done movie work before, so seeing the celebrities took a few moments to absorb. There were stand-ins for each star, too. Their job was to go through the physical motions of a scene so cameras and lights could be set correctly. The three stars each had personal assistants who were right beside them with shade umbrellas whenever the camera was not rolling. The Marleys had their crates beneath the shade trees. The extras got to go under shade trees between scenes, but between takes, handlers could provide shade for their dogs by standing over them. Action. The first scene included the arrival of the class. A few of us were chosen to be latecomers, and Liesl and I were the latest. Gigi, the Labradoodle, was picked to walk up to Kathleen Turner, who was having a conversation with Owen Wilson. Kathleen reached into the black treat bag hanging off her hips. We saw red scratches, which had been painted on her arms to show the effects of wrangling imaginary dogs into submission. And she threw kisses to Gigi as she fed her a treat. John Grogan, the author of the book Marley and Me, had described the real-life trainer Kathleen Turner was portraying as a dominatrix dog trainer, and the actress was true to the role. In real life, I'd never seen a staunch jerk-and-pull obedience instructor wear a treat bag, however. This would be too close to cookie training, which is not a compliment. Cookie trainers and dominatrix types have opposing training theories and do not integrate, but Hollywood is known for making the impossible happen.
This KPCT podcast, sponsored by Clicker Expo. Take your training skills to the next level. The nation's top animal trainers work with you at Clicker Expo. For locations and dates of the next conference, visit www.clickerexpo.com or call 800-472-5425. That's 800-472-5425.